Welcome to the Developer Spotlight on the Full Dive Gaming Podcast. In the Developer Spotlight, we sit down with VR industry professionals. This week, Jay is here with Eloise Singer, you might remember, developer of the new game, The Pirate Queen, a forgotten legend. Eloise, welcome back to the show.
Oh, thank you so much. It's a pleasure to be here and to chat with you again, of course.
We're excited to have you here. You got a great looking brick background behind you for the people who show up to the video podcast version. And while we're saying thanks, we got to thank our sponsor, Asterion Products. They're making these new cute VR merchandise things. I'm drinking out of a mug with a unicorn with the Quest 3 on. Check them out. AsterionProducts.com. Use code FULLDIVE. It's going to save you $5 on any $20 order. Eloise, you're back. You got a new game out. For people who haven't heard of The Pirate Queen, do you want to give us a little synopsis of what it is, what it's about?
Yeah, absolutely. So The Pirate Queen is the story about a woman in 19th century China who married the leader of a fleet. And when he mysteriously dies, she takes over and ultimately becomes the most powerful pirate in history, which is incredible. And it's a true story. And our VR game takes place on the night that she comes to power. And it's a narrative puzzle game that's very much designed for story seekers and those who are sort of new to VR. And it's been celebrated for being a non-combat game, and we won Tribeca last year, and it's voiced by the incredible Lucy Liu.
It's very exciting to see a familiar name in a VR game, especially if you have seen her in many, many movies. I mean, I think she's probably considered like an A-list actress. That's exciting you got her. The game is out now, dropped on Quest 2, 3, PC VR. Tell us about what it took putting it on all those different ones, because you had developed kind of a game before, but it was only shown off at like film festivals and stuff. How different was this bringing this game basically to the masses?
Yeah, it was a crazy, crazy experience, definitely. And I think I'm really grateful to Meta because obviously they funded the game, they supported us from the beginning. And what happened was we made a really short version of it that went to Raindance and it won at Raindance. And then we showed that to Meta and they were like, this is incredible. Like, we'll back it. And we were like, oh, amazing. So with them, we designed this sort of longer experience that at its shortest is about an hour and at its longest is kind of 4 hours. So it's a nice place for people who are kind of stepping into VR narrative stories to engage with. And it's been like a 2-year process. And because of that, we designed it for Quest 2. So it's really interesting and exciting that we get to release it on Quest 3. It wasn't expected, so it's always no surprise when that happens. And then now we've just released it on PC VR as well.
That's been the story for a lot of people, not only games but accessory makers and stuff. It was kind of like everything. Meta didn't really give out many Quest 3s ahead of time, so everybody had to develop for Quest 2 and then get ready for Quest 3 right at the last minute. I'm just curious, does that mean, I played it on Quest 3, was it graphically updated for that, or was that still the same experience a Quest 2 user would have had?
It's the same as Quest 2. So we only got Quest 3s at the beginning of this year, and obviously our game released at the beginning of this year, so the intention is to do a Quest 3 update, but the graphics are for Quest 2. So we really want to bring the graphics to Quest 3, because obviously, like, it would be amazing, and the Quest 3 is an awesome experience, I think, especially with how rich the Pirate Queen is. You know, there's so much detail, and all of the objects that we've created are bespoke objects and all hand designed, and there's been so much research going into every single object in each room. So, like, we can't wait to do an update and update the graphics for Quest 3.
That's exciting, because I wasn't certain when I got in it, because the hands looked so detailed. I was wondering if they were designed specifically for Quest 3, because they looked really good when you looked at them up close. The lines in the hands, like, they were very realistic.
Thanks. Yeah, I mean, the hands are something that we're super proud of, because when we first started developing the game, we couldn't find any female model hands. So we literally had to design our own bespoke hands for VR. Yeah, it's extraordinary. But there were only male hands, or like gender neutral hands. And obviously we wanted to champion the fact that this was a woman from history. So we had to create our own hands. But it meant in a way that we could even go further with it, because we then designed, like, to have scars on her hands, to have dirty fingernails, to have kind of wraps around her hands. And we really took it to another level, because we wanted you to feel like you were embodying this character. So it was a nice but kind of sad challenge to have. But it was a cool challenge, because then it got us to kind of think outside the box of how we wanted to depict her.
That is wild that there wasn't models already.
I know.
Wow. That's a whole other discussion to be had there. But what the F? stuff.
I know. It's kind of shocking, but I guess that's what we're trying to do. You know, we're trying to pave the way for more female narratives to come into VR because there are so few. And I think it's amazing that, you know, games are created in VR all of the time, and there's definitely a demographic who really enjoy shooter games, and I think that's great. But to be a game that's championing a story that also doesn't have combat so that we're able to give it to younger audiences as well is really, really nice, because ultimately there's such a power of VR for education and VR for good and telling these narratives to the next generation. And one of the things that really inspired us to tell this story was the fact that when I was growing up, I had never heard of the Pirate Queen. Like, I didn't know who Cheng Shi was. And if I knew growing up that the most powerful pirate in history was a woman, then it would hugely change my perception of gender dynamics and gender roles. And I think it's so nice to be able to see the community get behind how exciting that is, and the fact that we are trying to champion this woman who's been forgotten from history, and we are, like, paving the way for narratives that can be engaged with younger audiences that don't have necessarily aren't as violent. And it's really refreshing to see people like back that and support that.
Yes, I fully agree. And I appreciate that you're bringing stories to light, real stories, because there's a lot of power in gaming and media and stuff. And there's plenty of fiction's great and all. But it's like, if you can make something that's just as good and also happens to teach you about something real, like, why not do it that way? Why not hear these real stories instead of just playing some random pirate game that isn't based on any true historical figure? So I like that.
Thanks. I like it too. And it's nice as well just to be able to, like, share. I don't know, our team are just so passionate about the story and the Pirate Queen and everything that she stood for as well, because she was one of the first people literally to write a code of laws, which meant that men and women had to be treated equally on her ship. And the whole point of our game is you discover, like, these parts of the code throughout the night. And then, you know, you present that at the end to become the Pirate Queen. And I think it's a really sort of nuanced and different take, but it's like a cool, subtle way to just, like, champion equality, which is really nice.
That's cool. I wondered if those three laws, when I found them in it, were based on a true part, or if that was something new. So that's cool to know that that was real.
Yeah, no, it totally was. She was amazing. So, like, formidable and, like, a badass pioneer.
Well, I mentioned that I think it's cool. I like what you're doing here. And apparently a lot of other people like it because you've won some awards for the game already. Do you want to tell us about those?
Yeah. It's very humbling, to be honest. But we won the Rain Dance Discovery Award, which is for best debut. And that was for back in 2021, which was for the original kind of Pirate Queen experience. And then we won Tribeca's Storyscapes Award last year, which was super surreal. It was one of those moments that I couldn't believe when they called up the Pirate Queen and said that we had won. And I was just like, this is insane. It was such a surreal experience. So it was really nice. And that was basically for telling an untold story in a really engaging way and championing a piece of history that people don't know. So it's been nice to have the support from the community and to be celebrated for creating this narrative.
And you mentioned there that you're finding these undiscovered stories. The one before this was Mrs. Benz, about the wife of basically the name Mercedes-Benz, where all that came from and everything. I'm curious, like, are these stories that you have just heard of in your personal life and you were like, I want to bring these to light, or do you look somehow through history to find these hidden stories?
It's funny, the Pirate Queen, a friend told me the narrative. She was like, she literally said, did you know that the most powerful pirate in history was a woman? And I was like, no, I can't believe it. And she was like, no, I swear, it was a woman. It was a woman in 19th century China. And I was like, this is unbelievable. And then I researched it and looked into it and I was like, wow, it really is. And now every time I say it to someone and I say, do you know that the most powerful pirate in history is a woman? And they're just like, no, I don't believe it. It must be Blackbeard. Or some people are like, oh, isn't it Captain Jack Sparrow? And then I'm like, no, Jack Sparrow isn't even a real person. Like, of course he's not going to be a pirate in 19th century China. So it's such a ridiculous thing to say. So it's nice that, like, I just feel so passionate and excited that we get to tell a story about a real life woman from 19th century China. And this is a story that's been forgotten from history, rather than, like, whilst I love Pirates of the Caribbean and I'm a number one fan, I think that, you know, Captain Jack Sparrow has has had his time and actually making some space for women from history is a nice thing to do.
Yeah, I think by the end of the second movie, he'd had his day. I can't believe those are still going at this rate.
I know, it's crazy.
The game puts you in the shoes of the Pirate Queen, literally in the hands, as we mentioned even. But you're hearing the inner monologue and voice narrated by Lucy Liu, which is really cool to hear a familiar voice from the world of acting. What is the process like working with someone of that caliber on a game?
It's amazing. And I had huge imposter syndrome. So I'll be honest with you, it was directing Lucy was an incredible experience. And she's the most amazing collaborative person to work with. So we had so much fun and basically spent the entire time laughing. We have a very similar sense of humor, so it was really refreshing and just recharging as well, because she's so brilliant. And there were times when I joked her all of the time that I'm like, I don't even need to be in the room, like, you're so talented that you could, she literally can do it and smash it, and I just sit there and watch in awe most of the time. So she's formidable and she sounds incredible. I think it's so nice again just to see how many players, like all of the comments that we have on Meta and Steam, and everyone who's playing the game literally comments and they're just like, Lucy sounds incredible. And like, it's so exciting as well just to be able to step into the shoes of this incredible female pirate and it being voiced by Lucy Liu. Like, that's, you know, such a unique experience in itself.
It is, you know, it's been interesting watching the VR scene as a whole for so many years, because it's not that unusual to see big celebrities in more of the film side, you know, like Oprah was in The Crow, like, wow. But it's not always in the gaming. So this was cool to see kind of the merging of your background is a lot of film and games. And so to bring that into a game, it's truly unique. I can't think of a game off the top of my head that has, you know, that level of acting in it. It's really cool.
Yeah, I think we're the first VR game that has that level in it, which is exciting. And yeah, and I think for an indie studio, it's so nice to be collaborating with someone who believes so much in the project and believes in the story and believes in what we're doing. And, you know, we're so proud of what we have done and what we've created, and the response from players has been so heartwarming. And I think that that's always the most rewarding thing is, you know, when you see someone take off a headset and turn to you and be like, that was amazing. And you're just like, oh, great, thanks so much. And also, because it is a non-combat game and it is designed for new players and players who want to learn about historical stories in VR, it's so nice that we can now, you know, encourage schools to play the Pirate Queen and have more of encourage younger players to get involved and jump into VR, which I think ultimately is so powerful. And it is the beauty of VR is being able to share these experiences that you can't experience in real life with new players as well. So I think, yeah, there's a lot in it that makes me very proud of what we've done.
That's awesome. You mentioned there being an indie developer, and I don't think people would expect that, knowing that Lucy Liu was in this and everything. So tell us about what is the journey these days for an indie VR game developer, challenges, how is the industry on that side?
It's interesting. I mean, like, I read recently someone tried to compare us to Asgard's Wrath, which I thought was hilarious. And they were like, it's not like Asgard's Wrath. And I was like, and then someone was like, well, Asgard's Wrath is like an action RPG. And this is a narrative, a narrative game by an indie studio with like a 20th of the budget. So how could it be the same thing? So, I mean, I think that's probably one of the challenges is just like, you know, in the indie studios, we sort of duck and dive, as everyone knows. And whilst we're creating things that look beautiful, we're a small team, we have to be agile. And there are always challenges. There are challenges with time, there are challenges with scope. You know, we're given way smaller budgets than massive AAA games. And so it means that for us, our prerogative from the beginning was to do something really, really well. And we knew that as a narrative game, we needed to make it so that we were creating something that was like good quality, really good quality. And that meant that we were going to make something that was shorter. So we decided that we were going to make a game that was going to be between 1 to 4 hours, because we knew that we wanted to deliver something that was immersive and compelling and interesting. And ultimately, that was the decision that we took. Whereas if we were a AAA studio, then, you know, we could make the next Harry Potter and like the next Hogwarts Legacy. And I would love to do that. But as indies, you have to, you know, be pragmatic and realistic and make sure that you deliver quality, which I'm really happy that players feel that we have.
Yeah. There's a lot to it. And you talked about earlier trying to make it really accessible. You know, this can be played at schools. This can be used for education even. And because of that, I could see in the game where you tried to make sure, you know, you didn't want people to get sick through it with movement. That's still such a challenge in VR. Is there other features you want to bring to the game or other changes?
For the rowing, it is on rails, because that is to like avoid motion sickness, especially for sort of new players. And then in terms of updates, we have updated PCVR. So the graphics on PCVR are like full PCVR, which is really, really nice. And then we've done a couple of updates already. We're always like quietly in the background, just tinkering away and doing stuff. So like we've updated the graphics a little bit on Meta as well. And we've like tweaked different bits and pieces so that things feel more realistic, and we've added in like more shaders and just kind of like fixed and tweaked different bits. And I think for us, like looking to expand it and bring it to more headsets would be really, really fun and really cool, so that we can widen our audience. Like, it is a Chinese game, and the response that we've had from Chinese players has been amazing. And for them, they're so excited that there is a Chinese story that's in VR. So for us, you know, reaching more headsets would be really exciting. And I'm excited that we're having those conversations at the moment.
Good. Yeah, I'm glad to hear that, because I know if it's only on Meta or PC, there's a whole demographic that it needs to make it to Pico. So that's exciting that you're already in talks.
Yeah, for sure.
It's going well. It sounds like development isn't over yet. You're still adding to it. Is there any thoughts of telling more of the story, a sequel, or is there anything else, other games that you might be working on you want to give us a little teaser to?
A little teaser? Sure. I mean, definitely with the Pirate Queen, like our intention from the beginning was very much that the story was going to set up the whole franchise. So we set it up so that it would be the night that she comes to power. And the idea is that we then expand that. So we're developing the narrative into a graphic novel, and that's going to tell like her whole life story. And then we're also developing it into a film with Lucy, which I'm really excited about. So the VR experience is kind of just kicking off and just the beginning of like a whole franchise that we're creating. And I'm really excited that we get to bring it to VR first, ultimately. Like, VR has such a huge place in my heart, and I'm really pleased that we do get to like show it to VR players first and introduce them to this story. And the intention is that hopefully we build an audience and they follow it all the way through, so that, you know, we can share with them the graphic novel and we can share with them the film. So that's where we're at with Pirate Queen. And then we're planning to develop Benz, Mrs. Benz, the story that we were chatting about. So we're planning to release that probably next year, which would be really cool. We're kind of just kicking off at the moment. And then from there, we will see.
That's exciting too, because Mrs. Benz, you talked about that in the last episode and how you got to see it shows, but it's like, we didn't get to go try it after. So I'll be excited to watch out for that. Is there anything else you were like hoping we'd talk about today? Anything else you wanted to share about your experience with this for our listeners?
No, I don't think so. I mean, I think that it's just been really cool to see how much the community have got behind the project, to be honest with you. It's so refreshing that like VR players are engaging in narrative stories and excited about delving into a piece of history that they might not have known about before, and that people are engaging with a non-combat game as well. Like, it's really nice that people feel that this is a part of VR that they really can discover and something that they want to go on a journey and enjoy. So yeah, I think just mainly thank you, and thanks to the community for being super supportive and amazing. We really appreciate it.
Well, thanks to you for thinking about developing anything with some story, because the landscape is really lacking at the moment, I feel like.
No, that was one of the players who commented, and they were just like, I thank God that in a world where pretending to be a gorilla is the most popular thing to do in VR, that Meta are funding important, compelling, and like thought-provoking narratives like the Pirate Queen, and I'm just like, thank you. Yes, I agree. And that's not to diss Guerrilla Tag whatsoever, but it's nice to see meta supporting narratives that are interesting and thought-provoking and inspiring to the next generation, for sure.
Yeah, VR has a lot of power, and I sometimes look at the landscape and say, how are we wielding that power? Because yeah. There's some, yeah. Keep making stories. Keep bringing stories to light, please. Because as we were just talking on another episode, where are the story-driven games?
Ugh. I mean, thank you. And keep championing good storytelling as well. I appreciate it. I really do.
Well, we appreciate you coming on. There's going to be links in the description, show notes right now. The game is currently on sale. Hopefully, it'll still be by the time this episode launches here soon. But if you want to check it out, definitely get over there, play through it. And just once again, it's been an absolute pleasure to have you back, Eloise. Thank you.
Thank you, Joe. Pleasure to chat with you.
And remember, if you're out there listening, you can stop by. You can see these great backgrounds. You can see my Asterion mug. Check us out on YouTube. But we're on the go, every platform out there, including Audible. Even so, remember, if you've been thinking about VR and you're like, oh, there's not enough story-based games, well, maybe it's finally time to dive on in.